97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, Fred, here we are at the end of a baseball season. We had great hope when we didn't really have great hope, did we? But we had great hope at the end of May.
And the beginning of June, part of June.
But look, you have attendance at Busch Stadium. This is not a shocker. We were talking about it for a year now that this would happen, down like a million fans from 2023. That is a huge, huge number. The last couple of years have been bad. Yeah, John Mozeliak, who is on the outs now, retiring, and Heim Bloom taking over. We invited Joe Arnold to kind of take part in this conversation, longtime Louisville broadcaster. He's also Scott Jennings' bodyguard. I don't know if you knew that, but he's with us this afternoon. How are you, Joe?
Yeah, it's a dangerous word right now, but I'm a top advisor. How's that?
Yeah, that's fine. I know you kind of worked with him on the book, and the book's coming out now in like 2 months. But you were doing some behind the scenes editing with him earlier this year, weren't you?
I don't know if that's public, Mark.
Well, it is now. I'll make it public. Hey, if both of our names aren't mentioned, at least in the forward or the thank yous, I'm going to be pissed. Your name will be for sure. All right, so where are we with the Cardinals here, Joe? I mean, I've become completely disengaged from baseball. I've lost hope. Usually I last a little longer. I'll get back into the playoffs because I can root for the Brewers because my wife's from Milwaukee. But, you know, we said this last year, Joe Arnold, and Fred and Ethan's in here too. This is going to be a long-term, you know, turnaround. It's not going to happen right away. But don't you have to give the fans at least something to chew on in the off season so we have a reason to go next year?
I believe that's true. I do think Just the other factors of the world are conspiring against the Cardinals too, and that is social media, the prevalence of whether it's podcasts or just the death spiral of bad information is what I see here with the Cardinals. And it seems to me, and people are already upset and frustrated about the team, and I think for the most part, because I live out of town, I'm in Louisville, I'm not able to be there every day, and if I hear about the Cardinals, for the most part, what I hear and the prevailing kind of wisdom is this: they're terrible, and everything about them is terrible. And then, frankly, I came to town this past year and saw you, of course, for one game, and even that was like St. Louis is terrible. Downtown is terrible. Downtown is not safe. It's just like everything's expensive. And ultimately, I'm not getting fed a lot of good information and feeling all that. I have to overcome
a lot. Right, yeah.
I have to get there. And it's like, okay, well, what I'm tapping into is, frankly, nostalgia. I'm tapping into the fact that I have you said diehard, you know, because when you grow up with something and it has to do with my attending on straight-A tickets, you know, when I was at St. Augustine of Canterbury grade school, you know, and I got my two up and, you know, at Busch two in Peanut Heaven, but that was great because it was part of the family, you know, the whole thing. But I saw Bob Gibson pitch, and I saw Al Hrabowski, the mad Hungarian, and that kind of passion. But my concern now for the Cardinals is that if an entire generation of fans, and you have to get them when they're young, it's not just a matter of winning. It's a matter of entertaining. And if you're not, you know, capturing those kids, then this problem's not just next year.
No, you're right about that.
This problem then is 10 years from now, you know?
That's a great point, Joe. It really is. And you're not, you know, look, we had so much fun, what was it, 3 seasons ago now with Albert coming back. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was amazing, amazing fun. And then, you know, let's face it, the first half of this season was pretty damn good. And it was entertaining. And they were scoring runs, and we had a lot to cheer on. But to your point, I mean, I just feel like you can certainly have lightning in a bottle. Maybe some of the young talent does a little bit better into next year and beyond. But this is looking like a 3-year process, at least 3 years. Ethan, do you disagree with that?
I would say 3 years, but that's taking into consideration that I think that we're going to have a lockout in 2027. I would be surprised if we play baseball in 2027 or have
the whole year.
Yeah. Or close to it. They are so far apart on this salary cap stuff right now. It's going to be ugly.
That's just my concern. Now, when you brought up Albert Pujols coming back, and that was, of course, it was a great moment when he walked out on spring training. But don't forget, that was right after the last lockout ended.
Yeah.
And I can be steamed from 94, the strike, but we've had a couple of these different lockouts or interruptions then, you know, since then. And after a while, you kind of feel like just I've been squeezed a little bit too far. You know, it's like, and even I'm a big fan, but at the same time, you're asking a lot.
Well, think about the casual fans.
You're exactly right, Ethan. Yeah. This is going to be hard to come back from if they do it once again. The onus is on the players at this point, as far as that's concerned. Every other league has gone to a more of a parity model and had some kind of a salary cap, but I think this is a hill they're going to die on. So the problem is for a historic but small market team like our city, like St. Louis, you know, you're asking a lot to come back from. So I am concerned because I want the Cardinals to survive. I want them to be able to come back, but it's discouraging. And then, you know, you go back to, you know, one thing I was thinking about before talking to you today was, and I said this to you years ago, is like they seem to be specializing in every metric except winning. It's like, you know, there's barrel rate and launch angle and exit velocity and spin and, you know, and vertical break and all the other things you look at. And I miss the old days when I think under Herzog and La Russa, it was like, let's just find a way to win. And I think sometimes we can get so, I think Chaim Bloom is into the metrics and those kind of things, and you need to be on top of those things. Certainly I understand as far as when you're deciding which free agents to sign or how someone is excelling, or how they're progressing with their career. But I'm looking at a Nolan Gorman or a Jordan Walker, these guys who are phenoms, we were told coming up, and I don't know what we've done to them. I mean, I just want them to win.
Hey, Ethan, on Joe's point, this is an interesting point because, look, we've got four people here in different generations that are huge baseball fans. I mean, Joe and Fred and I all grew up with it. Ethan, you're a huge baseball fan. I don't care about launch angle and all that stuff. And there's so much focus on that stuff with the TV coverage. I don't care. I just want to see him score runs, run the bases, win a game. But there's so much damn focus. Is it me because I'm older and I don't have interest in the analytics? Do younger people demand all that on screen during a baseball game? Because we don't get that during football. We just watch the damn game.
I think people are entertained by the numbers to a certain extent. Now, if your question is it solely
overdone?
I think you can make an argument, but I think in a day and age, right, where you're trying to modernize as much as possible, like baseball's been trying to play catch up now for several years, and I think that they've done a good job. They've done some things right to modernize the game and make it more entertaining for fans, to where they are making leaps and strides.
Not enough. Look, I can go on Netflix right now and I can watch a behind-the-scenes, really cool Netflix show on the PGA. I can watch Quarterback. I can watch, you know, other shows behind the scenes where you have people that have personalities that fans are getting to know. Baseball doesn't want to do that. They don't seem to want to have any fun with stuff like that.
I think the most fun I have this year is when they would interview a player during the game and you could hear them if you were mic'd up in the outfield. That was fun. That was interesting.
Yeah,
I
think ESPN,
that
was
some of the ESPN
broadcast
games. You
yeah,
mean,
right,
Joe? Do you like that or not? Joe's such a purist. I can hear him say, "No, concentrate on the game."
You know, I will make concessions if it means that Fred will go to the game with me. Then that's fine. But at the same time, I don't like the idea of interrupting the game and having something. These guys are in the middle of trying to focus on a play.
I know.
You know, talking.
It's
to the
weird.
Broadcasters.
It is weird.
But going back to some of these numbers, whether they're on the screen or not, I don't personally really care. I think there are managers out there in baseball, and to go even further, there are front offices in baseball that are relying so heavily on these numbers that they are taking away the ability for managers to manage the game based off of their knowledge and their understanding of their team. That is bad for baseball. Ollie Marmol, you know, people talk about Ollie Marmol being this super modern, heavy on the numbers, heavy on the analytics guy, and he's kind of bunked that down, saying no, there's a time and when it's necessary, and there's a time in which you have to go with your gut and your understanding and your knowledge of being around the game. I think that the best managers for the future of baseball are going to have to know how to be able to do both well.
And you don't think he loses his job, right?
Okay. Certainly not this year. Yeah. He has 1 year remaining on his contract. You look at what he's done the last couple of years with the rosters that he's had, and I don't know if you're looking at any other manager out there and you're saying, yeah, he would have been that much better. These three seasons have not been on
Ollie
Marmol.
How do you feel about that perspective, Joe Arnold?
I guess. I mean, Ollie, I think he's as capable as most others, but I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that you do pay for experience, and maybe this is what he's just being fed, but I do think that he's somebody who I hear a lot of post-game news conferences or scrums with reporters, and I hear, and I think he's taking up for his guys, and I appreciate the loyalty, but at the same time, it's like, he won that at bat, or he won.
He had good swings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But ultimately, at the end of the day, whether you won or not, and I guess if the public and if the fan base is going to be this frustrated, you'd hope that the people who actually are on the team would be equally as frustrated. And I think sometimes it's like middle management. It's like, did you hit your QR reports for this month? Yes, let's have a ice cream social. This is great. We can, and I'd rather just have the win, and I don't really care how you get there. And maybe that's short-sighted
I get it. And can we agree? Look, I'm just telling you because I got a wife who's from Milwaukee. I spent almost 10 years there, and they knew where my allegiances were because I would wear my Cardinals gear when the Cardinals would face the Brewers. But I can root for the Brewers in the postseason, and I wish them well.
They've done it the right way. They have a lot of – look at what they've done. They've proven, if we need a reminder in St. Louis, that you can win in a small market. You can also win without any kind of – I mean, they have Christian Yelich, but for the most part, they have a lot of guys being paid the major league minimum or just above.
They're doing what we used to do, Joe. Yeah, exactly. They're doing what the Cardinals used to do. Joe Arnold, I'm got to go because I got to get to audio cut of the day. Great to hook up with you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Get more at 971talk.com.